Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak with your host, Beth Miller. All points of view must be brought to light if we're to reach the wisest solutions to challenges we face. Guests on Your Turn to Speak have unusual insights to bring to the collective conversation. They have been invited because of the positive impact of their loving presence on Earth. Though their ideas may be hidden by the glare of the mainstream focus, their perspectives are guaranteed to inspire and enrich us all. And now, here's your host, Beth Miller.
Welcome to Your Turn to Speak. I'm your host, Beth Miller. Our program this evening will focus on astrology, and, as written in the stars, it is our great fortune to have with us a brilliant practitioner of the science art of astrology, Dennis Cole. Dennis Cole is a transpersonal astrologer. He is a member of the Syracuse, New York Transpersonal Psychology Association, serving as its program director for the past several years. Dennis also is a life management consultant, lecturer, and author, and leads what he calls play shops on topics related to modern astrology and metaphysics. With his belief that our joy depends on where we choose to focus our attention, in his own positive, non-judgmental, and inspiring ways, Dennis helps those who seek out his expertise to define meaning, focus, and direction in their lives. During our program this evening, Dennis will discuss the multifaceted aspects of his work and will speak about his forthcoming book, The Metaphysics of Love. Listeners, it is my honor to introduce you to Dennis Cole. Welcome, Dennis. It's your turn to speak.
Beth, thank you so much. I'm honored to be here and to be able to speak with you and to have a turn to speak, so to speak. I feel you have a wonderful title to your program. I understand the heart
Thank
of it,
you.
And like will attract like.
Thank you. Yes. Well, you know, I hardly know where to begin because, as you know, the solar system is so vast. But maybe we could just root our conversation this evening by asking you just to tell us a little bit about your background.
I would be happy to. Well, even in childhood, I was always working on crazy things, rockets and inventions, and saving my paper route money for making my own chemistry lab and sending away to Rochester, New York for chemicals that the local drugstore wouldn't sell me and so on. And I went to college and got a degree in chemistry and then went in the Air Force. Had a year of tech school in Biloxi, Mississippi, Keesler, graduated and put in for instructor duty. And another guy in our class put in for Japan, and he got instructor duty. I got Japan.
Oh.
I understood years later, I met my, I took up judo while I was there for 3 years, and got to be good friends with my sensei, the instructor who was probably the oldest lineage, what was jiu-jitsu and then became judo. And just met a lot of wonderful people, but years later I realized these were other life reunions.
Oh.
considered spirits. Both my daughters were born over there,
oh.
And they could speak Japanese before English. But anyway, back to your point, then I started to work in, my wife at the time said, you know, I didn't want to move to Auburn, New York. They had a General Electric company there, and they had a job offer, and
mm-hmm.
I had put in for maybe 50-mile radius from Buffalo, Lockport, New York area.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, oh, no, they've got fishing down there. So long story short, we moved to Auburn, New York, and I worked in power semiconductor engineering for several years.
Mm.
Eventually that plant closed down. So working there, we were at the home of another person that I work with in the lab, and his brother-in-law was visiting from France, Claude. And
mm-hmm.
Claude and I got to talking, and he told me that he understood astrology and knew how to interpret it. And he said, but I don't know how to draw up a computer chart. He said, maybe we could send away for one. I said, I'll pay anything. I mean, I was so excited. It just rang a bell. It was a part of my energies, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually that hobby, when GE was winding down and I wanted to go to my first conference in Hollywood, Florida, kind of an international astrological conference that was put on by this group that I was in at the time, National Astrological Society. And lo and behold, I was able to go. And
wow.
Then a few years later in Auburn, New York, I started this as a full-time business and had many opportunities to lecture and teach, as well as teaching judo at the college and at the Women's Union and at the YFCA and putting a new roof on the garage and so on. But, I mean, I was so excited about this. It was like a two-year-old's mind. So that was the start. And I started out, as many people do, as an event-centered astrologer, meaning, you know, what's going to happen and who am I compatible with and all that. And the transpersonal astrology that I practice for many years now is sort of a combination of that ancient psychology, as Carl Jung would call astrology. He called it the mother of psychology. And mm-hmm. it's a combination of that, but also spirituality. In other words, in transpersonal astrology, we look at it more as not this is fated. It's more kind of a takeoff from humanistic psychology as well. Humanistic astrology was how I started, where we understand that there are no victims and that we get what we think about most, whether we like it or not. But, you know, Beth, it's wonderful to have a birth map, a sort of a Mandela of seed potentials, because they kind of show our soul's game plan for not only temperamental tendencies and, you know, natural life turning points, which you can do, cycles and all that, but also they can show, you know, keys to the life focus and how one can best find meaning to personal existence. And, I mean, that's one of life's greatest stressors, is a lack of a sense of meaning to the personal life. So I love to use it as a tool for that. Me save my life, I would say. In other words, to own what Jung called the shadow, to integrate the shadow, or to own the unconscious, to own my stuff, instead of judge and blame others for these repeat patterns that we all come into at first, because no one told us that there's a way that you could look at a birth map and look at Saturn, for example, and see one's own shadow. I mean, even if a caller were to call in or something to say, I did this for an audience this past weekend, and who would like to get a glimpse of their unconscious in case they haven't fully owned it yet and want to judge and blame instead of guilt and responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jung would say that free will is the ability to do gladly that which I must do. I agree with that, And you know, Beth, there's that age-old question, is it fate or is it free will? Well,
right, I was going to ask you about, yes.
But before you popped into the planet, this leading edge of creation, this yin and yang physical, amazing part of creation, you also had the free will to set up your temperamental tendencies and whether I want to have arthritis or not and who do I want to hook up with that they went off to the Crusades and never came back or whatever. So I agree that that was free will, but I also kind of agree with Jung. But now, when I told my teachers in non-physical, they use the name Abraham, teachers of teachers in non-physical, for the last 20 years for me, when I, at one of their seminars, you know, I picked to sit in the hot seat and put the mic on, and when I told them that I'm a great believer in the words in the Talmud, which say, everything is foreseen, but free will is given. And they paused and said, well, we like that. So that's kind of where I am. It's sort of, it's psychology, it's astrology, humanistic, and transpersonal, and basically, in very simple terms, it's spirituality, that there's more than the letter of the law going on.
Dennis, it appears as though there may be a caller on the line. Would you want to take a call at the moment?
Sure.
Okay, shall we try it? We'll see how this works. Hold on. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, may I hear your name, please?
Yes, my name is Vanessa.
Yes. Yes, Vanessa.
I was just listening in. I just tuned in a few minutes ago, and it just sounded very interesting.
Oh, good. Do you have a particular question for Dennis?
No. Is he picking up any of my energy he'd like to share with me? That would be great.
Sure, let's dialogue. First of all, how do you do?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. What's your first name, please?
First name is Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa. A lot of times I'm most excited in my work when people consult with me in sharing with them some workable tools in which they can create their own reality on purpose.
Okay.
And I could share one that's kind of been important to me these days. It's.
It sounds wonderful.
And the other option, though, since the title of the program is astrology as well, if you want to share your birthday, I was just offering that people could get a glimpse at their own unconscious through your own birth map. If you'd like, I'd be glad to do that. I was doing that for an audience last weekend.
Oh, that would be great. My birth date is 1361 is my birth date.
Okay. So you're born just before the year of the ox. You're right on the cusp there of that Chinese.
That's right.
So you said 120, Vanessa?
No, 13, the number 3,
oh,
123.
Wonderful birth map. I like that already just from the numerology. So Saturn, when you took your voluntary existence, was powerful in its own sign, Capricorn. But wait, you're a Capricorn too. And so what I'm about to say to you, I'm sure you'll be able to identify with because I feel, you know, your tree for your birthday is Jupiter, and that's Sagittarius. That's another side of you. And you have a tremendous amount of energy. Oh, I got to go back. I'm sorry. I turned to 60. You said 61, right?
Correct.
It could be one of those, ladies and gentlemen, jury disregard that last remark, but I was meant to say it.
That's okay.
We were born on a Tuesday. And Saturn was, as I said, because it stays in a sign for 2.5 years, comes around every 30 years, and it's in your own sign, Capricorn, meaning it tends to, as a representative of some at first undeveloped sides of the unconscious, the psyche, it first it tends to be vulnerable. It's an area where we need to get our act together. It sometimes involves certain experiences that we'd be embarrassed if other people knew. You know, so it's part of the unconscious. And it always tends to bring out at first, and then once we own that unconscious, and I feel you may have done that quite a bit, then it becomes one of your greater strengths and a key to your life focus and career, if you will, and rewarding relationships. And so Saturn in Capricorn, as well as generally, you know, your own sun sign is Capricorn, has been the test of not just patience, because it's a cardinal sign, it's like now. I want mine to look at all 18 pages of my coloring book right now. Dad to watch me ride the bike without the training wheel. You know, it's sort of like, you know I can do these things, you know, and it's like, you know, good quote-unquote success potential. And my teachers in non-physical define success as joy, and that's kind of at first contrary to the Capricorn bread and water, perseverance, responsibility, what do the neighbors think, and hard work.
Right.
But, you know, it's you know, you can mix it up because the Sagittarius part of you, in other words, being born on the 3rd, 3 is Jupiter, just astronumerology-wise, that tells me that you are, we're all 12 signs, Vanessa, but that you are also very Sag Gemini polarity to go with that Capricorn Cancer polarity. We learn these other sides of ourselves through our relationship with others, or like making a phone call like this right now. So back to our point here, Saturn, the negative of Capricorn would be misuse of power and not being a proper human being. And I'm sure you've been learning all of that and doing pretty good with it, I would imagine. You know, because of the responsibility. And sure, at first it was, how does this look out here in the world of others? You know, how do I look, you know, and trying to be an example and do the right thing and walk your talk with a golden rule and so on. But, yeah, so that's been your shadow. And if you're human, you know, once in a while you could slip into that mode of, without realizing it, just to make a silly analogy here, going to the teacher in the other room that has a bigger room and you got a big group coming in, let's say, and saying, Bill, would you mind taking this other room? You know, I need this for my, you know, without, you know, maybe calling him out in the hall and ask him, you know, diplomatically and so on. So I'm sure you've been learning about perseverance, character, mm-hmm. responsibility, and so on. You understand kind of what we're saying?
Yes, I understand. I understand. So what
yeah.
should I...
I mean, the misuse of power would be to say, no, that's not me at all. I don't get that, you know. And, you know, and everybody gets what they're vibrating, you know, what they're thinking or fearing or
right.
optimistic about. So you have that optimistic side of you, too, where, you know, the Sagittarius energy is also in Capricorn, so... You're a lot like myself. We both have extremely Capricorn-Sagittarius energies, and they're sort of antithetical. The Sag part is, you know, open mouth and insert foot, shelter in the library as we're growing, optimistic, jovial, but also interested in freedom and growth and upreaching and higher knowledge. So both of us want to put that knowledge to useful places, in other words, workable wisdom. And so I feel that you probably have quite a bit of that. You know, you don't want to do something just out of the trivial fun of it. You want to also do something useful with it, maybe share your knowledge with others. So you'd make a good creative director, psychologist, high in the teacher energy and so on. But, you know, I feel from an early age, you know, your Mercury, your perceptive antenna was also in Capricorn. So, you know, it was, now I lay me down to sleep and I want to be successful too. So that would give you some ideas of what we were saying.
Vanessa,
okay, well,
thank you so much for calling.
Thank
I hope
you,
this
dear.
Was helpful for you.
It is.
Bye now.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your help to both of you.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Well, Dennis, I see that there is another caller holding, but we were in the middle of our conversation here before Vanessa called. We were talking about how astrology kind of relates to psychology in the way that you do it, and we also have a mutual respect and interest in the work of the late psychoanalyst Carl Jung.
Absolutely. He's one of my heroes.
Yes, me too. And one of the things that he spoke of, in my recollection, was that there is a certain part of wisdom that is able to hold two opposing ideas in the mind at the same time, and that, you know, the two apparently opposing ideas that we just talked about were free will versus the
Yes.
and so I think as a paradox, that's part of being, you know, being able to understand and maintain and hold on to the paradox, knowing that there's truth in it.
But
in
you're right.
Itself.
It's nice that you can understand a little bit more in depth about that. For me, at this point, on resolving that, I feel, as I said, that when we're in non-physical, sort of one with all that is, that non-physical vibration that creates universes, we knew that we had the free will to, because we knew that no matter what we took on, difficulties or whatever, that we're not our bodies, and these are experiences in eternity that we're a part of forever. And so some people wouldn't even mind saying, I think this time around, because of things that I've been learning in my multidimensionality, my eternal expansion from the now, I think I'd like to learn what it would be like to be a double amputee beggar in Bombay. And we would have said, bring it on, because of that bigger picture that we were aware of. So anyway, we have the free will to set up our temperamental tendencies. The planets are symbols of psychological driving forces, and the signs that they're in, if we could use a play analogy by some authors named Sequoyan and Acker many years ago in a book, the play analogy for people to kind of understand the basics of how do we interpret astrology, the planet would be like the actress or the actor. The actor might be Mars and the Sun, kind of an animus or masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
The actress or the anima or the soul would be more like the Moon and Venus, for example. And so the planets are the actors. The script that they have in their play is the sign that they're in the background of as you look out from Earth. There's 12
mm-hmm.
sectors of space in this dynamic zodiac that's created by the spring point. In other words, it isn't like the fixed stars like in the Hindu and Eastern astrology, and that's another language, and all languages source energy agrees with and will attract to people what their reality is. Creation is so creative, but sticking with this Western viewpoint of astrology, tropical Placidian it's called, the zodiac starts from the spring point. In other words, around March 20th every year, that's
mm-hmm.
called 0 degrees Aries. And then for about 30 days of the movement of the sun, that first 30 degrees is the sign Aries. And then the next 30 degrees is the sign Taurus, and then Gemini and Cancer and Leo and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the stage or setting for the play, when we look at the birth Mandela, is the houses in astrology. There's 12 of them, like the 12 signs. The distinction is the signs are sort of a script. The house
mm-hmm.
is sort of an area of life to unfold that play. Money house, marriage house, career house, health house, etc. And then the plot of the play, Beth, would be the angle between these actors and actresses, these planets, a 90-degree angle would be a square, and that would say someone has agreed to set up a developmental tension pattern in their life.
Hmm.
Maybe the sun and moon were squared at birth, you know, like first quarter or third quarter moon.
Mm-hmm.
Then that could indicate that they've agreed, and all involved in their play would agree, that there's going to be some kind of a crisis relating to mother or father, in other words, the moon and the sun, or children and family and motherhood, you know, blockages, can't get pregnant or whatever, that the moon in Cancer and the sun in Leo would symbolize. So that's kind of a simple way to look at it, is that it's sort of like a play analogy. But back to finish the point about fate or free will, basically my experience is it's free will, because when you come into the planet, even though you encode it in your planets, your signs, your vibrations, your DNA, even though you encoded that I could have asthma or meet this person at some point in my life, you could change that. So we're back to the Talmud's words. Everything is foreseen. That was within your free will before you came into the planet, but free will is given. And so I feel the details of it are, while you're here, you can change your biology and your life experiences, even psychoneuroimmunology, epigenetics. The new biology is now saying, no, folks. Your genes are not controlling your biology. Instead, it signals external to the cell wall that are controlling your DNA and your genes. That's what's controlling your biology. And we're saying, though you programmed in arthritis.
Uh-huh. So I think that was some of the breakthrough research with Bruce Lipton.
Yes, I love his biology of belief. Yes. I've had people speak for our group on that.
Yes, it is. It's a very interesting revelation that he has come up with regarding the cell membranes and the that we are not enslaved by our genes.
That's right, and we're saying that's true of transpersonal astrology.
Would you like to take another call, Dennis?
Yeah, that'll be fun, huh?
All right, one moment. Hold on. Hello, can I help you?
Yes, this is David.
Oh, David. You have another number. Okay.
Well, I do. I knew it was the only way I was going to get picked up on.
Oh,
and
okay.
This phone does not have the best reception, so if you can pick up on the other number, I have a question for Dennis. I was very intrigued by what he had to say to the other caller, and I'm going through a huge transition in my life, and I would like to see what he might have to say about my own chart. So,
and if you want to, David, if you want to give your birthday at some point, but you don't have to. There's a number of tools.
I'll give you my birth date now, and then, Beth, if you can pick up on the other line, I'll hang this phone up because the reception's not good on this.
Understood.
Okay, sure.
My birth date is 1/28/55.
Another Capricorn, right?
I'm Aquarius, aren't I?
No, you're right on the cusp.
Okay.
But I got a feeling you are a Capricorn, and I'll look it up in a minute here.
Okay.
Yeah, and sure, you at age one for 30 years, you were picking up Capricorn energy, or Aquarius energy.
For 30 years?
Your progressed sun went through the next sign, Aquarius, for 30 years. We'll talk about that if you want to. I'll speak it so that we can do it live.
Okay, sure.
From your other... you were going to call on another line or something?
I am on the other line now.
Yep. Oh, you're on it. I'm sorry.
Yep. I had them both going at the same time, and Beth was real quick with the trigger. She moved right over.
Then, huh? So here we go.
I'm opening an ephemeris here, which is a computer printout of where the planets were last century. And we're looking at 11855, correct?
12855.
Oh, you are an Aquarian. I thought you said 118. I'm sorry.
No,
absolutely
no.
Aquarius. And I can ad lib and tell you a lot about your life, or would you? You said you had a specific question.
Well, you can ad lib, sure. That would be interesting, but I'm particularly interested in what the planets might be saying to me about this point in my life, because there seems to be a sudden transition going on that's of great import to me.
Well, you know, welcome to the club of everybody on the planet.
Yeah, right.
That, you know, after 2 o'clock this morning, an eclipse that affects all of us, not that the planets are causing things, but they're symbolic of when we said we would likely be psychologically ripe for what we're feeling and experiencing. In other words, as above, so below, as below, so above. And there's that fake free will again there. We can look at the kind of progressed cycles that you're in right now. It only takes a couple minutes.
Sure.
And that'll give you the bigger picture so that you feel a little more soothed and understanding that there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
That, you know, all is well. And, you know, these developmental tensions are for development. You know,
right.
These are constructive crises. It's how things get done. David, you were born on Friday's Child of Loving and Giving. In other words, it's a Venus day, which tells me that you've got some Libra or Taurus energy in you just by that day of the week, because Venus rules Libra and Taurus. In other words, you know, appreciate things of beauty in that, kind of intellectual and sociable and so on, too.
Yeah, yes.
And your moon was in Aries. And you might know somebody else that has an early Aries moon, too. I don't share other people's birthdays, but hint, hint.
And, okay.
And your purpose, do you have a rough idea what time you were born, David?
About 10:40 in the morning.
That'll be perfect. Your moon is in early Aries. That's the mom that you needed, someone that had some spunk and courage and intuition and let's cook this up right now, you know, kind of energy. And so you're kind of emotional now, too. And a lot of Aries types have Aquarius-type friends. But back to your purpose on the planet and how you can best deal with your daily personal, social, cultural, relationships challenges, and sort of a key to your life focus. You're here to make a mark on your environment. You're here to make an impression on the world around you.
Okay.
And you can do that through Aquarian, Uranian, Aries, Martian scripts and energy, psychological driving forces that the planets symbolize.
Okay.
An example would be this kind of program, this broad talk radio. Perfect example.
I'm an author, too.
And that we would probably see elsewhere, although that certainly rubs off with your Aries intuition. And, yeah, I see it here. You have Venus in Sagittarius, the sign of higher knowledge, writing and teaching, psychology, religion, philosophy. And it's in Dennis's 12th house of the so-called past, so this is like a reunion talk. I feel Japan. And this is one of those kind of conversations where it's, hi, how you doing? Let's remind ourselves of some of this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Everything's okay.
Right.
You were born under the crescent moon phase, and that's what prompted me to say you're here to make an impression on the world around you. You do it through your person, in other words, Aries moon, through your physical person, through leadership, through taking the initiative to be quickly supportive. These are just examples that would plug into this equation at this time. In this algebra of life tool that we're accessing here. And then, of course, your Aquarius sunlight is shining off your moon in Aries, And Aquarius is humanitarianism. It's also like this country is an Aquarian moon country, meaning a home founded on revolution and freedom and independence and the rights of individuals. So you have some of that energy too, you know, some Ralph Naderish energy, and, you know, that you would stand up for the rights of people and so on.
Yeah, right, I would, yep.
And yet your new soul-building direction that's opening doors for you is that Capricorn that I was somehow led to spout off thinking you were born on the 18th. And Capricorn is your new soul-building direction that's going to open doors for David. Dennis or David, any name starts with a D, M, or a V,
mm-hmm.
4th, 13th, 22nd letter of the alphabet, or even a day of birth with that number, including the 31st of any month, you know you're talking to a Capricorn Cancer polarity. So you and I have some of that significant Capricorn, and that's what we're both building for it in different ways, I see it here, but still building to get to the top of the mountain of, I want to achieve some things.
Right, exactly. No, that's exactly where I'm at. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Source Energy says the world doesn't need to be saved. It doesn't need a
right.
new book or a rock band or proof of how cancer can be prevented. But
right.
if you're having fun, if it's a joy to pursue these ever new things, then you are contributing not only to your own growth, but to the expansion of creation. So nice to know.
Okay.
If it feels good, it's right. And, David, that would mm-hmm. be a good guidance system for you as you gather your data, including what further we might tell you in more detail here in a minute.
Okay.
Like that you're in. If you gather your data and then take the fork in the trail in the holy moment that feels best to you right then, without doubt that this is your own guidance system, it would never deceive you. It goes like this. My teachers would say, good feels good, bad feels bad. So you don't need to worry about what others think or drag others into the equation of you being you, but we would recommend doing it without an attitude. In other words, just calmly, peacefully, firmly be yourself, allow others to be themselves.
Yeah.
Here's your cycle if you've got time for that.
I do.
Yeah. And then
if Beth does.
And I'll answer more. So we're going to count a day for a year from your birthday, and that'll tell us what kind of a major cycle. We all go through 8 cycles. Beth, you do too. And
mm-hmm.
they relate to the 8 phases of the moon. And each phase that we're in for 3 2/3 years, what we said we agreed to experience. And I'll describe the one you're in and how far you've been in it. So I'm counting a day for a year from your birthday real quick here. And 2016. Okay, I've got to back up a little bit here. Well, 2016, since I landed there, I'll dart ahead a little bit for a minute and tell you about that one. That's a big turning point in your life that comes around every 29 or every 30 years.
Oh.
And I got to get back to it here. Here it is. I'm going to double check. You were 10:40 in the morning. So, but you were born right at the beginning of the year. So I got to fine tune it so I don't throw you off by a few months. AM is after, PM is before. So that would be a PM Greenwich time. So that would be late the year before your year of birth, late then. Now I'll count from there just to get it more accurately. And 30.
This is fun, David.
It is fun, yes.
95, 2005, 2015. Okay, this is late 2015. So I'm going to say, give or take a few months, David, early 2016, and then we'll come back to the one you're in now.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a significant turning point in your life, and I thought, you know, it's like astrology is sort of like a barometer of seed potentials. And, you know, I always describe them in essence, and your free will can model them the way your reality would prefer them to be. You know, they say the best prophet's a false prophet. And so when I tell somebody something in essence, and astrology is an algebra of life, and there's many variables that will plug in, but they are quote-unquote, scientifically sound ones, but there is flexibility to them. In other words, you could be in a hospital, or you could be helping people who are confined. You would still be experiencing an energy in your own birth map, but now it's second person rather than always being first person.
Okay.
So early 2016 is right here, and maybe as early as the end of March, as late as the end of June, but I'm going to say early 2016, first half of the year at least, first quarter moon progress phase in the sign Cancer, which is home and family and individuation, you know, stability and knowing who you are at the core of your being and all that. And the degree of that is something that I want to look at real quick here. 10 degrees Cancer, that's an interesting symbol. I work with symbols, too.
I'm live.
So it'll be a big turning point in your life. Part of 16, David, all of 17, 18, and 19, maybe overlap a little into 20. You're coming down the highway of life, and what I'm about to describe isn't every day you wake up and that's all that's going on, but it's a subtle substrate to that period. You're coming down the highway of life, and at times it seems like your vehicle, so to speak, hits the bank curve of circumstance. And your challenge will be to evoke what you've been learning up to that point, and that is courage and confidence, and grabbing that steering wheel and completing those turning points in your life because you're building for your future. And I will just peek at the symbol. I work my inner guru in astrology, a guy named Dane Rudger, born in 1895. He wrote a book based on those symbols that were channeled in San Diego's Balboa Park, 1925. And we're going to look at the one that relates to your period coming up. 9 degrees Cancer will be that first quarter moon progress.
Are you talking about the time in 2016 or the time coming up now?
No, 2016. Thanks for questioning.
Okay.
And this is just a quick, I won't read the whole symbol, but you're going to like the symbol. A small naked girl bends over a pond trying to catch a fish. So in terms of what we said about crisis in action, major turning point in your life, it could involve where you live, who you are, physical body, new foundations in your life, new stability. And, you know, sometimes because of your growth and who you are and the work you've done prior to that point in time, it could be, you could just see it as a piece of cake. This is how things get done. This is a developmental tension. And it's, like I said, it isn't every day. But my teacher, Dane Rudger's keynote translation of that image, if you meditated on it, it means the first naive quest for knowledge and for an ever-elusive understanding of life. And I won't go through the whole story that he tells about all that. Bottom line key words are purity and understanding. And you might have heard me say the individuation word, you know, knowing who you are for your being, the heaven within. You could look at it even new levels of that presence within you that knows all as well and enjoying the turning point in your life. Now, back to where you're at right now. So probably maybe a little bit of 2016, but all of 15, all of 14, all of 13, the cycle you're in now, David, probably started about the end part of 2012.
And okay.
Here's how it goes. It relates to the energy you were born under, where I said you're here to make a mark on your environment.
Mm-hmm.
detached impression on the world around you, and always with the Aquarian Aries keynotes of humanitarianism, pioneering, think outside of the box, revolution, you know, and personally getting involved in supportive roles and starting up a lot of things and being a leader and the supportive leader and. Well, the cycle you're in now, the crescent moon phase progress, is based on when you took your voluntary existence, took your first breath, your voluntary existence, activated your chart, your DNA, and now the planets rolled on since that moment, and they're compared now by symbolic progression, moving them a day for a year from your birth, so that we can say, this is when you said you would be psychologically ripe for what this cycle is about, which is grab the opportunity. Reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Try one more time in some areas that seem to have failed in the past. That's what's
do,
going on.
Do what? Do what? I heard you say grab the opportunity, but I missed what you said after that.
Try one more time in some areas that seem to have failed in the past.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that, you know, confidence in yourself. You've been building that all your life. And, you know, your shadow just glints at that is, I'm going to learn how to manage in depth with people. I'm not going to be afraid anymore and hang up the phone too soon and get them before they get me with my pride or whatever. I'm going to learn to capitalize on this so that I'm a very professional manager, meaning David bringing to the table what he's got to offer, and more as you've grown, that would include the whole of who you really are. So in other words, you're learning in this life to bring out your desires and not be afraid of another ending in your life. You know,
I mean,
some of them are debts and joint financial and chemistry things and so on. And so that was your shadow that you put in. That was your at first undeveloped side of the psyche.
Yes.
But now you are like management material. It's like, and, you know, father could have been an influence in that, and guilt and this about, you know, sexual and that and whatever, and finances and insurance and taxes and, you know, all this Scorpio stuff with your Saturn in Scorpio. Then it becomes like a great rewarding area where you are a very responsible manager, where you pool resources with others. And, you know, I'm sure you can sense that.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis,
mm-hmm.
I think maybe we're getting a little bit low on time, but
sure.
One of the next questions I was going to ask you is if you could give us a way of contacting you to arrange for one of your consultations, maybe that
sure.
would be a good thing for those listeners who... We may not have time to take all the calls.
Probably, Beth, they could, if they wanted to phone direct, which is more efficient for me, it would be area 315-457-9141. But if they wanted to do online to understand what I offer and so on, and there's a lot of wonderful archived articles that I write, and they could go to AquariusServices.com or they can use org or net, but Aquarius Services.
Okay, and Aquarius Services.
Yeah.
.net.
And, you know, this program, you mentioned my forthcoming book that's been inside of me for about 30 years, and I'm going to convert that 4-CD set into the book. Metaphysics of Love is another site where people can write in their questions about relationship. And I answer
and the
them in a way, Beth, where everybody can get something out of it. It's anonymous. You know, we don't use their names or anything. The articles are archived. They could even go just look at some of the archived articles and responses I've made there and just look at the synopsis of it, and they would know, oh, my God, this is one that I'm going through. You know, they could take a look at it that way.
And just to repeat that info, Dennis, the site is called The Metaphysics of Love.
Yeah.
Correct?
And you could use .com.
Okay, themetaphysicsoflove.com.
And the book's full title is Metaphysics of Love, The Journey to Meet Self.
Hmm.
It's all based on the birth and growth of anything is fourfold, like a cross, like sunrise and sunset, like midnight and noon. In other words, the whole program has four major sections, the what, where to, how, and why of our experience of journeying to meet the heaven within.
Hmm. Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. You know, I mean, it was 4 hours and 18 minutes of talking heads, so I took it off the market in 2012, but I'm excited about what my initial intent was to make that a book.
Yes. Now, Dennis, when you see someone for one of your life management consultations, does that always involve astrology?
Oh, no, that's just one of the tools. I don't even call myself an astrologer very often. It's a tool. I also work with numerology, the I Ching, Reiki, whatever comes to my attention. What is the person wearing or what is their name, whatever. And I just use those to access inner guidance. In other words, clairvoyance simply means anybody's ability to read hidden meaning into whatever jumps at their attention.
Hmm.
You know, the analogy, if a bird flew in front of your car, you know, you think, maybe I better slow down, you know, and then the troopers are up ahead or whatever. You can work with symbol. David could work with symbols, too, with that Saturn and Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I wanted to give David an example of how we're all connected in the collective unconscious to address bottom line his concern right now.
I think his call is now off.
Oh, okay.
His call has ended.
Yeah, I could do that another time when I talk with him then.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But in the meantime, Pardon me?
Is there anything that's confusing to you that you want to ask about?
Well, just a personal question that kind of just popped into my mind. My stepson and daughter-in-law just had a baby, and it was born on the first full day of spring this year. And you know what you were just saying about the equinox being kind of the springboard for the year. I thought, wow, that's quite an opportune time to be born. I don't know exactly the time. I could find out and maybe get back to you later on it, but I thought
sure.
That was so exciting.
Is it the 22nd of June? Or you said spring, huh?
Of the spring, yes. I think it was March 20th.
You know somebody that has a moon right there, a family heredity thing.
Interesting.
Three of Aries be symbolized, and I feel that you can maybe listen to this too, but it also would address the child's life. If you could, I work with those channeled symbols, and the symbol for the first day of spring, the beginning of the zodiac, first degree of Aries, is a symbol of a woman emerging from the sea, and a seal is embracing her. In other words, that was a critter that once tried the land and then regressed back into the oneness, the ocean.
Yes, yes.
And so the first degree of Aries, the first day of spring, the fire sign Aries, is the impulse to be. In other words, I don't know whether I'm going to be a sunflower or a pine tree, but I want to be now. So there'd be a lot of that energy. But also intuition and leadership and courage and initiative and the need to be active.
Wow. That's wonderful.
It's just like spring, right? A seed sprouts through the ground. It doesn't know what kind of a plant it's going to be, but it knows that what it's going to be is rooted in its past. As it shed the garbage of the past, the hull around the seed.
Right.
I mean, astrology is sort of like a seed cycle, my teacher, Dane Richard, in Non-Physical, would say. In other words, you you have a seed sprouting, let's say an apple tree. And so Aries would represent that fire, that seed, life, new beginnings. Taurus is an earth sign after that fire. And Taurus is earth, meaning it wants that seed sprouting to be viable. It wants to bring substance to it. In other words, it's the chemical uniting with the seed. And then Gemini is an air sign that has to do with synapses and dendrites and connections of all sorts, Mercury. And so then the cell division starts in this growing apple tree, and all the connections are going on. And then you come to the water sign, fire, earth, air, and water. Cancer is water, and that's the moon and nurturing and mother and maternal energy. So that's the warm summer earth in late June and July that's nurturing this. And so the roots are going down in the apple tree. Then you've got Leo, the fire sign again, and that's when the blossoms start to come out on the apple tree. And then you got Virgo completing the first six signs and the first hemicycle of development, and then the apples are coming out. Then you come into the second six signs, Libra through Pisces, where what do we do with this that's been developed? And it's harvest time. And that would be, you know, as you come into late September and October. And then you've got the apples on the trees, a few of them rotted and dropped to the ground, and that's Scorpio, about rebirth, transformation. Then you've got Sagittarius, the centaur, shooting for a mark, and so the seed shoots out of this rotting apple and then goes into the next sign. Capricorn is an earth sign. And then you got winter, Aquarius, an air sign, crystallization. And then final sign is Pisces, where you're starting to sense spring rain and a whole new cycle if all has gone well. And then the sprouting, and then it begins. But it was still based on history somewhat.
Yes. Dennis, I can't believe this, but we have only 2 minutes left for our show. And I think what we might need to do is have you come on again, because there's just so many things that you can answer for people. And I see that there's one caller, unfortunately, we didn't get to, but it just makes me think that there is a great interest out there in this. It's kind of a mysterious art science form. So I think we'll need to conclude right now, but just to ask you one last question, if there's any particular message you'd like our listeners to hear from you that would be of help to them along their journeys.
I would love to do that. What popped in my mind, Beth, and that's a great question. I would just recommend something I'm learning myself that would serve us all extremely well, and that is, you know, when you first wake up in the morning, the beauty of sleep is puts our momentum to a stop. In other words, the things I got to do, you know, I got to hurry up and do this and so on. And so when you first become aware of waking up, that would be a time to, with your free will, I'm talking to whoever, to choose some thoughts that make you feel good and to follow the trail of those thoughts. And don't stop because it didn't work out fully the first day and you didn't even make it to breakfast and you were starting to worry about, I got to make that call and I got to do this and so on. Just Pollyanna, just following the trail of thoughts that feel increasingly better would be another description of the purpose of life. To follow the trail of, it's wonderful.
That is great, Dennis. Thank you so very much for being on Your Turn to Speak.
Thank you so much. I just feel this is really a wonderful show you have here.
Thank you so much, Dennis. And this will conclude our show for this evening. We'll have Dennis back sometime soon. And in the meantime, listeners, May your voices be heard until we meet again.
We are all one planet, all one people of Earth, all one planet.
You have been listening to Your Turn to Speak with host Beth Miller. Each week, Beth features guests whose important views are often overlooked in the mainstream dialogue. You can listen to this show again at freespiritbroadcasting.com. And be sure to tune in next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for another live, inspiring conversation on Your Turn to Speak.